Okay, the question is asked, why Bilam did not, why Balak didn't ask Bilam to bless him instead of going through all the trouble of cursing Klal Yisrael, if, as he said, which he said to Bilam, Eish asher tivoreich yivurach, I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. If it was in fact true that Bilam could bless people, or at least Balak thought he could, why didn't he ask him to bless him? There are many answers. Some say that Balak knew that Bilam had no power of blessing. Bilam's whole power was only to curse, only to know the time that Rabban Shimon was angry. But the Sfarno says that it would have been an insult to Bilam to say, I know you're a guy who can curse people. So he said, you're also a guy who can bless people, even though he knew it wasn't really true, but he didn't want to say something that sounded disrespectful to Bilam. Today people pride themselves they can curse other people, but then it was considered a gnai to be a negative person. So in any case, that's one idea. But I was thinking that even if Balak believed that Bilam had the power of blessing, he knew that Klal Yisrael were not going to fight with Moab. They were prohibited from fighting, even starting up with Moab, and they weren't going to take their land. That wasn't the Inyan. Inyan wasn't that they should overpower the Jewish people. What were they afraid of? So the Medrash Tanhuma says, Vayaguru, they were afraid that they would be like Gerim. They would remain in the land, Klal Yisrael would come in, and they would take over the area. They wouldn't take over their land, they would still be living there, but they'd be Nebuchadnezzars. They would be an influence, they would set the tone of the whole area, and it would all of a sudden become a frum neighborhood, and Nebuch, you know, what's it called? Balak wasn't interested in living in a frum neighborhood surrounded by Haredim. Right, by Klal Yisrael, sounds familiar, yeah. They would create the ruach of the place. So therefore, it wasn't a question of blessing them that they should be victorious over the Jews. There's nothing victorious. It wasn't a problem of either Moab's going to win or the Jewish people are going to win. Moab's going to remain the way that it was. The question is, would Klal Yisrael be zocheh to get Eretz Yisrael? If they don't move into the neighborhood, we feel better. So Bilam purpose was to curse Klal Yisrael and find a way of preventing them from moving in. That's all. Not to be that they shouldn't be victorious over Moab, because there was no contention with Moab. It's just they didn't want them around. Right? Laku es vivoseinu. They're just going to lick up everything around us, and we're going to end up being amidst people we don't want to be around. Vayakutsu, they'll be coaching, like I said, by Mitzrayim. Right? Vayakutsu, maybe in Israel. They felt that they were a thorn in their side. Okay. Now, therefore, the whole purpose of Bilam's klala, therefore, based on this, was to try to get the Ribbono Shel Olam to take away Klal Yisrael's schus of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of Kibush Ha'aretz. Go somewhere else. Don't have the schus of having Eretz Yisrael. The purpose of a klala, the idea of a klala, just like a bracha, is to increase and intensify something, and that's why a bracha only takes effect if there's something there for it to take effect on, because you can't multiply zero. You multiply zero, you have zero. So a bracha is a multiplication, it's an intensification. You have to start with something. Klala also takes a weakness and makes it weaker. A bracha, from the word brecha, increases a strength, and a klala increases a negative, right? Makes it more of a negative. So that's from Russian kal. Makes it lighter. Makes increased in a negative way. Now the things that caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was Gilui Arayis, Shfichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Those three sins. And if Klal Yisrael had these three sins, then Lechora, if that was enough to destroy a Beis HaMikdash already built, it surely was enough to prevent the Beis HaMikdash from being built. So Bilam came with the intention, right, of pointing out these weaknesses, that the Jewish people have a weakness to Gilui Arayis, Shfichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. However, before he even got started, the Ribbono Shel Olam showed him that that's not the case. And when his donkey was stopped in three places, and he couldn't go on, Chazal say that the Gimel Regalim that the Torah refers to, right, that he hit his donkey three instances refers to the Gimel Regal, to the three Yomim Tovim. The fact that we have three Yomim Tovim show three aspects of positive midos of Klal Yisrael. And each of these positive things counteract one of these Gili Arayah, Shlichus Tovim, and Avodah Zarah, at least in my estimation. So what are they? The first one, Bilam, is held back. He went off the derech. In other words, it's this first one is not such an equal. This wouldn't have held him back completely. This wouldn't have held him back from cursing the Jewish people completely, but it pushed him off the derech. It made him take a detour. Made it difficult to curse them. What was the first thing? The first thing is that Klal Yisrael have emunah. That's Pesach. Pesach is the yontif of emunah, and it is connected to Avraham Avinu, Rosh HaMaminim. Avraham Avinu was that first one to bring out emunah, so Pesach is connected to emunah, and that's connected to Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the opposite of emunah. And if Klal Yisrael have tremendous emunah, right, from Avraham Avinu, and they have the ability to keep Chag HaPesach, which is what's it called, the yontif of emunah, then they have the power against Avodah Zarah. You're not going to uncover the weakness of Avodah Zarah amongst them because they have the strength of Emunah. But Emunah is a difficult thing, right? Not everybody is a big minded. There's many, many levels of Emunah. And therefore, for a that all of Klal Yisrael should be on the highest level of Emunah is not the case. So therefore, it's a Mila. Klal Yisrael are Maminim, B'nai Maminim. But the degree of Emunah is a very difficult thing to reach. And therefore, that wouldn't have held Bilam back completely. It would have made him take a detour. It pushed him off the path, but it didn't stop him completely. Then there's the second Myra. And that is where he went with Mishol HaKronim, Gader Mizeh v'Gader Mizeh. That hinted to the fact that Klal Yisrael are Gidurim Mi'arayas. That when it comes to Gili Arayas, there's their fences. And they're fenced off. They're not Prutzim. The opposite of Tznius is Prutzus. Where everything Yifkod Hashem Elokei Haruchos Ishal Ha'eda Asher Yetzei Litmehem Vasher Yavo Litmehem Vasher Yotzien Vasher Yibien. He asks that the Rabbanu Shem, who knows the various currents of people, Ruchos, the different spirits of people, he should give them a leader, Asher Yetzei Litmehem, Asher Yavo Litmehem, who goes out before them and comes back before them, Asher Yotzeim, Asher, bring them out and bring them in. That's how Moshe describes his position. Okay, that's the position we're looking for. Somebody who will fulfill all of that. The truth is that when Bnei Yisrael thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was not coming back and they also needed to fill that position, they put out a different sign for a substitute to Moshe Rabbeinu, someone to take his place. They describe Moshe Rabbeinu's position as Ku Masei Lanu Elohim, make us the power, Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu, who will walk in front of us. Ki Zeh Moshe Ha'ish, Lo Yadanu Mehayo. We don't know what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. So they put out a michraz for Moshe Rabbeinu's job, and they described the job. What was the job description? Elohim Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu, a power that will walk in front of us. When Moshe Rabbeinu described his job, so he said a different description. His description was, Asher Yetzei Lifneihem, Asher Yavo Lifneihem, Asher Yotzien, Asher Yibien. The idea is that that was part of the problem of the Chet HaEgel. They served the Egel because they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was a power who they needed to do it for them. He walks in front of us, he blazes the trail, and he does what we can't do. And that's the purpose of a tzaddik, of a leader. He does what we can't do. He has that direct line to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and through him, we have a kesher to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, we need him to do what we can't do. He goes in front of us, and he blazes the trail, and we just follow in the trail that he blazes. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that that wasn't the purpose of a leader. The purpose of a leader was to teach the people how to do it themselves, not to do it for them. The leader is no different than the rest of the people, except he may no more be on a higher madrega. His job is to bring the people up as much as possible to his madrega and let them do it. I think there's a interesting Meiri. The Gemara says that Nish Yeshlo Chole V'Solveso Yelech Etzel Chacham V'Yispal Olav V'Yivakesh Olav Racham. Right? Person has someone sick in the home, so he should go to a chacham, and he will pray for him, and he should ask for rachamim. So the Nemukah Yosef there says the pasuk pshat: go to the Talmud chacham, and he'll daven. Like people do, right? They go to chacham and get a tefillah, a bracha from a tzad. The Meiri says a different pshat. The Meiri says you go to the chacham, and he'll teach you how to daven for the sick person. He's not going to daven for you, but he has a direct line to the Rav Amishalom. Right? You have a direct line to the Rav Amishalom, but you may not know how to daven. So the chacham will teach you how to daven. It could be there's no machlokas. Until you learn how to dial, he's going to have to dial for you. Okay, so that's what the Meiri says. The Meiri says that the purpose of the chacham is not to daven for you, but ultimately to teach you how to daven. That's the difference between Klal Yisrael's job description. They put too much emphasis on Moshe Rabbeinu. We can't do it without him, so we need a power to do it for us. So they picked an eagle. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's not the purpose of a leader. Leader's purpose is not to do it for you, to teach you how to do it. You have the potential to do it also. Except you need guidance. You need somebody to be an inspiration to you, or whatever. You need somebody to teach you. So therefore, they said, Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. Asher Yetzei Lefneihem. He goes out from amongst you, before you, and comes back to pull you along. Vasher Yotzein, Vasher, he pulls you out. He brings you in, right? In order that you should bring out the best from Klal Yisrael. I was thinking maybe that's the idea of Parah Aduma also. The famous Medrash says, Yavo Ha'ein, let the mother come and wipe up what the child did. Klal Yisrael looked at Moshe Rabbeinu like an eagle, a power, an independent power by itself. But the truth is that Moshe Rabbeinu was more like the mother. The purpose of the mother is not to nurture the child for the rest of his life. The purpose of the mother is not to carry this kid when he's 65 years old, right, and nurse him. The purpose is to wean him eventually and let him walk on his own two legs. So the mother's purpose is not to nurture this child, but to bring him to a level where he can nurture himself. So therefore, the kapara of the eagle, which is an independent power, as if that's what the purpose of the leader is, the purpose of the paraduma is to show, look at the leader rather as a mother than as a pendant power. With that, I was thinking that we can understand a Medrash also in Parshas Pinchas. The Medrash says, when the Rabban Shalom said to Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Rabban Shalom, Yifkod Hashem Elokei HaRuchos, Ish Al Ha'eda, the Rabban Shalom should appoint someone to take care of the people. So the Rabban Shalom said, Achi Tetzaveini Al Bonai, before you tell me what to do for my children, Tetzavu Bonai Olai, tell my children what to do for me. And then he told them the parasha of Korboni Lachmi Ishai, all the Korbonos. And they give a marshal that a wife of a king is dying, and she calls her husband to her deathbed, and she says, please promise me that you will take care and have mercy on my children. And the king says, before you tell me how to deal with our children, why don't you call your children and tell them how to deal with me? That they should be respectful, they should be whatever. So what's the idea? I mean, God says, before I take care of them, let them worry about me. Right? I'm more concerned about me than I am about them. What's the meaning of this? Thinking based on this idea, the idea is the following. If the purpose of a leader would be to do it for the people, then the people have really no part in this at all. But if the purpose of a leader is to bring out the best in the people, then the people first have to work on themselves and bring out the best in themselves. Same thing with a marshal, right? If the king says, I'd be more than happy to deal with mercy and benevolence to my children. But if the children aren't going to act properly, then I have to deal with them as they are, because it's not good for them if I have mercy on them when they're doing the wrong thing. I'm just going to be encouraging them to do the wrong thing. The leader follows the lead of the people insofar that he accommodates his leadership to what the people need. And he leads different people differently because the purpose is to bring out the best in them. So if they're rebels, then you have to deal with a rebel differently than you deal with a simple person, right, who wants to do what's right. You have to deal differently than a simple person you deal with a chacham. Because if you're not doing it for them, you're encouraging and enhancing what they're doing, then you have to make it fit. That's why it said, Elokei HaRuchos, the Rav Amishalom, you know all the different kinds of people. You can pick the leader that fits each one. Because the leader's not doing it for them carte blanche. He's bringing out the best to each one. Yeah, the leader has to be able to identify with each one. So therefore, the Rabban Shalom said, before you tell me to get a leader for my children, first tell the children that they have to be able to function. The leader's not going to do it for them. So they have to know how to bring out their korbanos. The whole meaning of korbanos, the whole meaning of sacrifices, is that a person should get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam and use all his various talents, abilities, and capabilities in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Use the whole world, the animal, vegetable, mineral kingdom, and his own emotions in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So first you tell them to bring out and to recognize their capabilities, abilities, and talent, and then it's possible to have a leader who will be able to enhance that. But if you think the leader is going to do it oblivious of them, then that's not a leader. If you think I'm going to deal with my children like the king, but without taking consideration how they're dealing with me, then I'm being merciful on them sometimes is going to be very negative. What I'm going to try to do is bring out the best in them, and it depends, therefore, where they're holding.